This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا ما يشتغل ابدا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today inshallah, which is the 12th of Safar, 1445 years after the migration of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم from Mecca to Medina, which is equivalent to 29th of August 2023. Idin Allah Azza wa Jalla, we continue with our Dars of Riyad al-Salihin. And last week we talked about the hadith of Ali ibn Hatim. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittaqun nara walau bi shiqqi tamra. Faman lam yajid fa bi kalimatin tayyibah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the Muslims to do whatever possible that can take them away from hell, even if this is done through giving a charity that is equivalent to half of a tamr. Do something that will take you away from hell, but this is the ultimate success. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ زُحْزِهَا عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take you away from hell and put you in Jannah, definitely you succeed. So if you're looking for somebody who succeeds in this life and the hereafter, look at somebody who managed to take himself away from hell. And that can only be done through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that mercy of Allah, you can only achieve it when you do that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do. We don't go to Jannah because of our deed. Your deed cannot buy Jannah. Cannot be the replacement, you know, the equivalent, you know, cannot be the equivalent for paradise. But through the deed, you can get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will take you to paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the righteous people will be told, get inside paradise, bima kuntum ta'amalu. Yeah, that's the way to reconcile between the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nobody will go to paradise through his deed only. You need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take you there. Because the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you are so many, in which if you are going to take your deed, you know, to give them as a compensation or equivalence of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your deed cannot do anything. So you need the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that matter. And if this is the case, then you need to know, what can I do to get the mercy of Allah? It is very simple, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through righteousness, by doing what he asks you to do. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Do everything possible to take yourself away from hell. If you don't have anything to give as a charity, he says, say good word to others. Say good, talk in the good way to others. He says, فَبِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبًا, even if you happen just to say a nice and a good word. وَنَ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةٌ. SubhanAllah, Allah is a very beautiful religion. And you have some who don't know how to say a good word to others. Yeah. So even if a person is not familiar with it, you have to train yourself. It's a very beautiful religion that opens all the doors for everyone. You know, if you look at the way the Prophet ﷺ is discussing these matters, SubhanAllah, he says, "Wal kalimatu tayyibatu sadaqah." If I meet you and I say good word to you, you say good word to me, it will be written as a charity for both of us. If I don't say it, but you say it, you will get the charity. What do you lose if you say good words to others? And SubhanAllah, you get a lot. You gain their side, and on top of all, you gain the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, فَلْيَقُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ." You Allah, you should always train yourself that whenever you speak, let good comes from your tongue. Yeah. Don't train yourself on curses, saying bad words, even on people who deserve. Yeah, because there are some people who deserve those curses. Allah curse them in general. If you're not command to curse them, ask for guidance. Allah is the creator of everyone. He does whatever He wishes, but He guided you towards what is better for you. Ask for guidance for them. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, to do the right thing so that they can benefit the community at the end of the day, inshallah. قَالَ وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً. And saying good words to others is counted as a charity for the sayer. Counted as a charity. And there is no restriction. Good word to anyone. To your children, to your parents, to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, to the community, to anyone that you meet. Say a good word to them. Allah will count it as a charity for you. وعن أبي ذر قال قال لي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك any righteous deed, no matter how much small it is. Because we are not the judges, you know. We are not the judges, we are not the one who are judging, you know, others. Whether this is the most valuable or this is lesser than this and that, we are not doing this. This is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, Allah is the one who is doing this. Why do I say alhamdulillah? Because sometimes what you belittle, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from you. You don't even pay attention to it, but you did it sincerely for His sake. Allah will accept it and grow it for you. And that might be the reason why you succeed. The success, that there will be no failure after it. Yeah. We always give the example of that hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that woman who fed a dog, right? And she was a prostitute sister. فَشَكَرَ اللَّهُ لَهَا فَغَفَرَ لَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciate that what she did and take her to paradise. And you see that a person who picked up something from the road, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala غَفَرَ لَهُ, just remove something from the road which is harmful to others. Allah took him to paradise because of this. This is Islam. No? That's why لا يهلك على الله إلا هالك. Allah, all the privileges and the chances and opportunities are given to us. It doesn't make sense that we go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tragedies. You Allah, it doesn't make sense at all. And with all of these intensive amount of forgiveness and chances and the doors being opened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of us to come forward and do whatever we can do. Allah just wants us to do that which we can afford. The rest is up to Him. فَتَقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Just do whatever you can do. The rest is up to Allah. Who is going to value that which you are doing? Allah Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillah. You Allah, Alhamdulillah, we are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not with human beings. Those who cannot be convinced, cannot be pleased. And you're dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew your attention here. He says, do not belittle a righteous deed. No matter how much small it is, just do. You don't know how much Allah is going to accept it from you, and it might be the reason why you will pass the test in this life. لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. As long as it's ma'ruf in Islam, as long as Allah loves it, it's okay, just do. Yeah. As long as Allah loves it, just do. And don't worry about the acceptance, because if you qualify, you know, acceptance, you will get it. How do I qualify that? I do it for Him, and according to what was, taught to me by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught me. Don't worry about acceptance. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, you will be accepted. As long as you're doing it with these two conditions, you're doing it only for Allah. And secondly, according to the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught you to do it, don't worry about the rest. You will see nothing from Allah except good. He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Allah doesn't disappoint His people. Those people who agree to please Him, Allah doesn't disappoint them. Good idea. So don't worry about the acceptance. Inshallah, you will get it as long as you are doing what He says and He asks you to do. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا. And on the other hand also, don't you ever belittle a sin. Yeah, don't you ever say that, no, this is little. We have some people in our time, no, these are lemon, you know. Yeah, say these are lemon, minor sins. Yeah, when you're dealing with others, we talk about this is our aqidah. You have minor and major sins. You have kabair al-dhunub, wasagair al-dhunub. This is what we found in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه وكفر عنكم سيئاتكم. So from here we have an indication that there are saghair and there are kabair. But the thing is, when you are dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you deal with this matter of, you know, classifications of sins? You just have to look at them as a sin which Allah doesn't like, and therefore stay away from it, whether it is minor or it is major. You Allah, anything that you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like, stay away from it. Don't even waste your time asking whether it is major or minor. No. Ask, is it halal for me to do it? Is it okay for me to do it? If the answer is no, just stay away from it. You don't go and ask further questions, but is it minor or major? You get idea. You have some characters who will be doing this. They need to know what could possibly happen on them if they are to do it, through the answer given to them by the scholar, whoever he might be. So don't belittle righteousness, and don't you ever belittle a sin, because some of these sins are so heavy, you know, on the scale, in a way they have the power and the capacity, you know, that will enable them to supersede your righteous deed. So be very careful. Allah says, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ. be very careful when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just try to identify what He wants and get busy with that. Bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, you will never regret. قَالَ وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't you ever belittle a righteous deed, something that is good. Even if you don't have anything to do, except to meet your brothers with a very smiley and nice and kind and good face. As I told you last time, there are some among us who are upon the righteous, you know, way and the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in almost everything except the fact that they believe they are infallible and they are the Sha'abullah al-Mukhtar. Every other person is cursed. When they meet others, they meet them with angry faces. Then I don't know, when do you think these people that you're meeting with angry faces are going to listen to your statement after having you put in a strong barrier between you and them? Get it? This is not the manhaj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, وَلَوْ أَن تَلْقَ أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلِيقٍ. When you meet him, smile. Unless if he deserved to receive that face. Because there are some people who, some scholars mention that they deserve. And these are the people that you advise, you advise, you advise, you advise, you advise. They reach the level that you believe if you forsake these people, they will reflect and come back to the truth. If you know that, yes, staying away from them might cause them to reflect and come back to the truth, in this case, staying away from them is wajib. Ibn Abi al-Qawi says, وَلَاقِهْ بِوَجْهٍ مُكْفَحِرٍ مُرَبَّدٍ. He says, those ones, when you see them, you should see them with angry face. It's like you have no chance, you know, to deal with me in any way. And this is only restricted to those people who you are sure that inshallah you are expecting them to reflect and to come back to the truth if you to stay away from them. Other than that, scholars said no. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said you are not supposed to stay away from a Muslim for more than 3 days if there is a cause for that. If there is a cause for that for more than 3 days, you are not supposed to stay away from him. If you have a cause and justification to stay away for 3 days, it's okay to cool yourself down. But after 3 days, you have to go back to the normal life. You say salam to him, he says salam to you. After the salam, there is no hijrah, because when you say salam, then khalas. Not necessarily you have to keep on pretending that you're smiling, but inside you is burning, you know. No, at least when you meet him, say salam, smile. Not necessarily that you have to sit with him, you have to stay with him, but give him chance, meet him if there is a need for that. And when you meet him, also greet him with the greeting of Islam. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is really worth our attention. Yeah, this is free gift given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody can claim that he has righteousness which is enough to take him to paradise. Every conscious person will tell you that I am deficient. And nobody wants to die. Why don't you want to die? Because I am not sure. Why aren't you sure? Because I know my deeds are still little. So here's the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving you the hint. You know, he's giving you the answer to all of your worries, the solution to all of your worries. Telling you that don't belittle any righteous deed. How many righteous deeds we have in this life? Countless number of them, you know. I don't think there is somebody who can tell you how many righteousness exactly we have. You get it? Yeah, that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam here says, even if for you to say good words to somebody, that will make him happy, is righteousness. So many things, you know. Which if you cannot do this, inshallah you can do the other one. If you cannot do this, inshallah you can do the other one. Not necessarily that you combine all. Only a few amongst the Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them this ability to be excelling in everything. People like Abdullah ibn Mubarak, and inherited from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. great scholar, mujahid, qa'im billayl, and also at the same time a very rich person, extremely rich person. And one of those, you know, subhanallah, qimmah, one of those jibal that Muslim ummah is proud of having them. But he's everywhere. He's everywhere. His richness did not deprive him from praying at night. It did not deprive him to be one of the best of the scholars on earth. Up to date, he is one of the best references we have in knowledge. You get it? And whenever there is a need for him to go for the jihad and defense, he's there also. How many people are like that? Only a few. Imam Malik says, that's how the system is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you so many options. So that if you cannot do this, you do that. If you cannot do that, then do that. There are some people who are excellent in studying. But if you're looking for the laziest person you ever see in your life when it comes to Qiyamul Layl, he's one of them. He prays one rak'ah for witr. But when it comes to knowledge, every day revising books. What do we tell him? We blame him? No. You encourage him to keep it up. Try manage that knowledge, you know, search, you know, properly. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him of ability. You have some people, when it comes to the knowledge, a'udhu billah, yakadu yansa ismahu. Maybe even his name also, if he is not serious, he might forget his name. Everything you tell him, next time when you ask him about it, he forgot. Like most of our students. Yeah, it's very painful when you're in the classroom, when you, after the semester, you know, and it happens, those people who took your course last semester, they register again with you for the next semester. Why? Wallahu alam. But they came to meet you again. Right. But then you ask, you know, you should be happy that, mashallah, my teaching is quite okay. The student happy, that's why they came back again. You know, and most likely they benefited. And then you ask, last year we studied this and that. Who remembers? Nobody. Yeah. The best one is the one who still have his note. If they do not put them in the Makbaratul UI. So the best one is the one who will check the book and give you the answer. Yeah, that's why I always ask when we talk about the conditions of the hadith in the classroom, we talk about the second condition, which is a dabt. Dabt means he has to be somebody who has very good memory. I ask students in the class, okay, our student in the university, which category you put them? They always tell me du'afa. Weak narrators, you know. So a person should train himself, you know. So what I'm saying is there are some people, but among those people, subhanAllah, somebody who is excellent in giving charity, somebody who is excellent in Qiyamul Layl, there is still good in them. Iwallah, there is still good in them. What we want to see is to see, you know, people being righteous, doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, and then we cooperate. This is what we, you know, complete ourselves, and the benefit will be completed in the community. Yeah, I'm good in this, but I'm not good in the other way. He's good in that way, I'm not good in, you know, in the way he's good in. This is how we complete ourselves. You know? If you say that everyone has to do everything, that will be impossible. Yeah, iwallah, that will be impossible. In this dunya, there is not such a system like this, whereby everyone is doing everything. This is not possible. Yeah. That's why if you look at the things that are surrounding you, which one you did? Which one? None. And you go to your room and sit down, the things inside your room, which one? You are the one who made it. None of them. That's how the system works. But there are some things which you are excellent in. Most likely those people who provide you with those things, they are not able to do it. So everyone, as Imam Malik says, should look into this intensive amount of righteousness, countless number of them, and take what he believes he can afford doing until he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the last hadith under this chapter. And I guess also we reached the end of the time. Next week, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla, we will take another chapter which is excellent. Still in the adab, in Islam. And we will be learning about the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to speak to people, inshallah. May Allah grant us good and tawfiq and be with us wherever we are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeer. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If a group of sisters get together and pledge to read a juz of the Quran a day, will there be any kafara if one of the sisters misses the juz pledge?
They need each other to just to read the Quran.
No, it's like, yeah, they come together to read the Quran. If any of the sisters is absent and she doesn't make it to the reading session, will she have to do any kafara because they did a pledge on it?
Okay, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There is a question about a group of people who promise, right, to have a gathering of tadarus li kitabillahi azza wa jal, to revise the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and read and study. So they are asking, if let's say one of the sisters missed this gathering, you know, tadarus, right, sitting down, studying the lessons, reading the Quran and studying the lessons. That's the meaning of the tadarus. So if they promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do it and one of the members miss it, then they have to go for the kafara because of that promise. Yeah, if there is a promise. But in the first place, I really don't advise people to do this at all. You know, many of us think that this is the best way for you to force yourself to do those righteous deed. No, just discipline yourself. Be a normal person and try your best not to miss it. But in case you miss, then there is no consequence at all. No consequence, no kafara, no anything. You don't need to worry at all. You try your best to keep it. I forgot to open this one. So you try your best to keep. What I was saying is, if there is a promise between them, they were asking about a group of sisters, as I said, who promise to do the tadarus of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to study, to revise, to talk about the lessons, and to read the Quran. You know, these are the majalis, al-dhikr, idhillahi azza wa jal. So if there is a promise to do it, if one of them was not able to make it, then they have to do the kafara for that. So I was saying, I really don't advise anyone to do this in terms of promising. Whatever you know to be a righteous deed, you have to discipline yourself. Don't promise, because you're not sure whether you'll be able to do it or not. And then you're going to put yourself into trouble looking for solutions afterward. So just discipline yourself to make sure that you don't miss it. And in case something happens that you have to miss it, then you don't need to worry at all. Try to catch up in the next time. So this is my advice to those sisters who have an agreement amongst themselves to do this. It's a very excellent and a good manner, a good thing to be done. But at the same time, don't promise. Yeah. Everyone should give her word, but not promise. I will try my best to attend, and try your best not to miss it. But if you miss it, then there is nothing on you. You try to catch up with the tadarus the next time, inshallah. Barakallahu fiqh. Finish. Okay, so I guess there is no more questions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. La idha kana nadhr. Al-wa'ad. ما في مشكلة إذا كان وعد ما يجوز لهم نقضه يعني هذا من صفات المنافقين واحد ينقض الوعد لكن ما عليه أي شيء إلا استغفار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا وعد أخلف الأولى لا يفعل يعني في الغالب نحن إيش بحسن النية نقول أوكي عبد الرحمن نجتمع وإذا غاب أحد منا فعليه أن يصوم 3 أيام متتابعة وبعدين أغيب. ثم أبحث عنك ما في حل، ما قال العلماء شيء بالنسبة لهذا.